You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus, bringing you all of the free agency analysis you want, you need, you crave. We've got it for you right here today on Locked On Bears. We're going to go through what we learned on the first day of the legal tampering period of the pre-free agency here. We'll talk about the restricted free agent tenders the Bears handed out to wide receiver Cameron Meredith and cornerback Bryce Callahan. We'll get to the Bears re-signing Bradley Soule on the offensive line and how the free agent guard market seems to be shaping up, especially when we look at it through the lens of the Josh Sitton contract situation that the Bears declined a few weeks ago. A lot to get into there. Plus, we will update you on the Bears' pursuit of some of the top name receivers like Allen Robinson and Sammy Watkins, as well as the tight ends Jimmy Graham and Trey Burton. This is a jam-packed episode of Locked On Bears. Let's get right into it. The Bears started out day one here a little bit slower than I think a lot of people were hoping for and expecting. You know, after the past few years here, Ryan Pace has kind of come out of the gate with these big moves. Seemed like last year, everyone kind of knew the Mike Glennon signing was coming a few days before free agency, and, you know, they locked down Pernell McPhee early on a couple years ago. I mean, the Bears have been aggressive in this area, and so when the tampering period began, you know, with all these top-name free agents at positions of need for the Bears, we were all kind of sitting there waiting, what's going to happen? You know, what are they going to do? What's Ryan Pace got up his sleeve this time? And starts out a little bit of an anticlimactic beginning. They put the restricted free agent tender on Josh Bellamy, I think was the very first move they made on Monday. Then they put it on Cameron Meredith and Bryce Callahan. All three of those guys were undrafted free agents that the Bears brought in, and Ryan Pace opted to put what's called an original round restricted free agent tender on all three of those guys. Now, when it comes to restricted free agents, there's three types of tenders you can place on them. And a tender just basically is a qualifying offer that gives you the ability to match any contract offer that player will receive on the open market. And so with the three types of tenders, there are first round tenders that are worth a certain dollar amount. And if you put that tender on a player and he agrees to a contract with another team and you choose not to match it, that team has to give you a first round pick in compensation. There's also a second-round tender, which again costs less money than a first-round tender and would receive a second-round pick as that compensation. Of course, both of those are in an effort to make the player less desirable on the open market and make it more difficult for a restricted free agent to leave his original team. The third type of restricted free agent tender is the original round tender, which is like a first or second round tender, but it applies only to the original round that the player was drafted. So if you use an original round tender on a player that was drafted in the third round, then another team would have to give you a third round pick if they signed that player to a contract. Cameron Meredith, Bryce Callahan, and Josh Bellamy were all undrafted rookie free agents. So as such, their original round tenders don't come with any compensation if another team offers them a long-term deal. And it's worth just under $2 million for 2018. It's a one-year deal. And so when this news started coming out, you had a lot of people, you know, a lot of Bears fans on Twitter, Facebook, social media, you name it. People were starting to get a little bit up in arms. You know, we got people saying, Lauren, why didn't the Bears use a second-round tender on Cameron Meredith? What if another team comes and gives them a contract and the Bears, they're not going to get nothing if they don't match the contract? Relax. Cameron Meredith, especially out of those three, is not going anywhere. And there's a few reasons why. First of all, Cameron Meredith might not even want a long-term deal. And I know that might surprise you, but you know, as much as security on a contract and having that long-term deal, especially coming off of an injury, might be a desirable thing, Cameron Meredith might look at himself as an 888-yard receiver waiting to take that next step as soon as he gets back on the field. So he could be looking at this as an opportunity to play on a one-year deal, put up 900, 1,000 yards maybe if he can have a big season, and then enter free agency in 2019 and get paid a lot more than he would get paid on a multi-year deal right now coming off of a torn ACL. Right along with that, reason number two, I don't think other teams are going to want to break the bank on this third-year wide receiver with only 1 year of production coming off of a torn ACL. So I think if Cameron Meredith were to get a long-term deal from another team, it's going to come in at a pretty reasonable number. No one's going to pay top dollar for an unproven injured wide receiver. And so if another team gets Cameron Meredith to agree to a long-term contract at a reasonable price, I think the Bears would happily match that and lock this guy up long-term now instead of waiting for him to break out in 2018 and have to pay even more for him then. I think the Bears would want to lock him up now, and I get the impression that Meredith just might not want to. And so all this kind of points to the Bears not having a lot to worry about when it comes to Cameron Meredith. I don't think he's going to get any type of long-term deal this offseason from the Bears or another team, and I think chances are he's going to play out this year on this 1 year, I think it's $1.9-something million deal. I think it's a similar story for Bryce Callahan. You're looking at a guy who, yes, is an encouraging player, and I've been a big Bryce Callahan fan. But when you step back and look at what he's done so far, he is an injury-prone number three cornerback. You know, he's never going to be an outside cornerback in the NFL. He's pretty much limited to the slot because of his size and because of the skills that he's shown. And realistically, no one's going to go out and pay a lot for a player like Bryce Callahan. You know, in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears bring in some sort of veteran competition for him in the slot. You know, as much as I like Callahan and as much as I see a promising player, he does turn 27 this year, entering in year number four. At this point in his career, is he going to take that next step and truly be one of the 10 best slot cornerbacks in the NFL? Or is he going to just kind of be this promising but never quite puts it all together for a full 16-game season type of player? I think the Bears aren't as locked into Bryce Callahan and maybe aren't as encouraged by him as we might be on the outside. I think Cravon LeBlanc still is going to be in that slot competition this fall. So if the Bears maybe aren't as high on Callahan, there's these injury concerns, he hasn't taken that next step, just doesn't look to me like another team on the outside is going to invest a big contract in him. If somebody invested a reasonable contract, again, maybe the Bears would just match. But I think with both of these original round tenders, the Bears make it seem like they're confident that these guys aren't going to go anywhere. There's not a lot of fear to have to do a second round tender that's going to cost a few million dollars more. Yeah, it is a few million dollars. It's not that big of a deal when it comes to the larger picture of the salary cap, but there's no reason to pay more when you're really not afraid at all of losing either of these players. You know, with the way restricted free agency works in the NFL, these players rarely sign with another team. And so I think these original round tenders for Callahan and Cameron Meredith, it's easy to look at it initially and get a little bit excited and fearful, but I think largely they're more of a non-story. And before we move on to the other free agent news the Bears made, I first just want to take a minute and thank you guys for helping grow Locked On Bears the way we have lately. You know, the podcast site Stitcher, many of you might be using it right now to listen to this podcast or their app. They put out a list of the like top 100 fastest growing podcasts. And Locked On Bears last week were number 26 fastest growing podcast on Stitcher. That is phenomenal. Thank you so much. I do this show for you guys. I appreciate you guys spreading the word and continuing to support Locked On Bears. Moving on to the other move the Bears made in free agency on Monday, another blockbuster signing. They brought back Bradley Sole, the backup offensive lineman, on a 2-year deal. I know, we could hardly keep our excitement in for this big time move for the future of the Bears. But hey, when you have a versatile, below average backup offensive lineman, you have to do everything in your power to lock him up before he hits the open market. You know, you look at his 2017 season, he started at left guard in week 16, then ended up starting at right tackle in week 17, played a little bit of right guard at a couple points in the year. And yes, he is a versatile and experienced backup offensive lineman who played some time with the Seahawks before then. But just because he's versatile and experienced doesn't mean he's good. And I think we kind of have this, you know, as a public, as football consumers, we have this lazy tendency that for certain positions, certain guys, we tend to assume things about the quality of their play without a lot of substance behind it. You know, someone who is a four-phase special teams player, it's automatically assumed to be a good special teams player, regardless of if they're actually good at special teams, because 99% of people don't watch tape of special teams. And so when it comes to backup offensive linemen, when you see a guy who has been on a lot of teams, played in a lot of games, and played in a lot of positions, and has that versatility, there's sort of this assumption that he's good at it, and that he is a high-quality player and a valuable piece. But let me tell you about Bradley Sowell. I'll start with the good. He is an okay run blocker. And yes, he can play both positions and can, I guess, function. But where he really struggles is pass protection. It was a big issue when he was at left tackle with the Seahawks, and it was an issue at guard and right tackle in Chicago. Looking at the numbers from Pro Football Focus, he played roughly 300 snaps this year. Certainly not all of those are pass protection, but over 300 snaps this year, he gave up 3 sacks, 2 hits, and 9 hurries, according to Pro Football Focus. Also had 5 penalties, a lot of those false starts and holdings at critical situations. So 3 sacks, 2 hits, 9 hurries on 300 snaps. Compare that to, say, Josh Sitton, who again, Pro Bowl caliber guard. I'm not trying to say that Sowell should be held to the standard, but you look at Sowell's 3 sacks, 2 hits, 9 hurries on 300 snaps. Josh Sitton had 2 sacks, 1 hit, and 9 hurries on 700 snaps. So in more than double the snaps, he had 1 fewer sack, 1 fewer hit, and the same number of hurries. And again, that's not necessarily the standard to hold Bradley Sowell to, but it does give you a sense of how far behind starting quality caliber Bradley Sowell is. He is a below average backup offensive lineman who has some experience and can play multiple positions. For whatever that is worth, that's kind of up to you and me to decide. I mean, it's kind of personal how much you value that, but Bradley Sowell's are a dime a dozen, and we shouldn't get too excited about anything like that. But what it does do is bring this Josh Sitton situation back to the forefront, especially when we look at the guard market and how it's shaping up. A few weeks ago, the Bears opted to decline an $8 million team option on Josh Sitton, would have just given him one more year in Chicago on that $8 million salary. It wasn't fully guaranteed, to my knowledge, but actually, because they've made the move, you can't find his contract numbers on the typical go-to contract website. So I don't know the exact details of how much of that $8 million was guaranteed and how much was that a base salary. Typically, these team option things are not fully guaranteed. Typically, most of that is going to be a base salary, and maybe, you know, $500,000 to $1 to $2 million is going to be guaranteed. But so regardless, not fully locked into that $8 million. If something were to happen, they would change their mind down the road. And we talked briefly about this decision when it happened a few weeks ago on the podcast. But as we're starting to see this market of guards play out, it really draws back into question for me the merits of the decision. And we can see some of the Bears' reasoning here, right? I mean, reason one, they've already invested a big contract in Kyle Long. I think he's supposed to get like $8.5 to $9 million, maybe 10 over the next couple of years. And so when you have that much in Long and then another $8 million in Josh Sitton, that is a lot of money invested in the guard position. That is a true statement. That's a true fact. Another reasoning I've seen out there, you know, the Bears just hired Harry Heastand to be their offensive line coach. There's a lot of faith in his ability to coach up players and potentially get more out of the talent that they do have. You know, they have Mark Helfrich as their offensive coordinator, who was the coach of Hronis Grasu briefly at Oregon. You know, there's some connections there. I don't necessarily know how much of Harry Heaston is reputation and how much of it is truth on just how well he can come in and coach up players. I mean, that's a whole nother podcast discussion of its own, but I'm just saying everyone likes to say Harry Heaston is a high quality offensive line coach, and that may very well be true, but we're basing this off of reputation for players he's gotten drafted from Notre Dame, and he's coached the Bears offensive line in the past, and he's gotten rave reviews, yes. Is that something we know 100%? Maybe not. It's probably true that Harry Heaston can coach up a replacement and get more out of offensive line talent. So, you know, I can buy that as a valid reasoning. And another one that people point to a lot, Josh Sitton has been banged up. And that's fair. You know, he played 13 games in 2017, played 13 games in 2016. It was a shoulder injury, ankle injury 2016, then this last year had a rib thing and then a concussion and then ankle injuries at the end of the year. And, you know, there's been speculation that Josh Sitton has played out of shape, and I don't know if there's much merit to that, but I can see where when he's had ankle injuries 2 years in a row after having not missed a game since 2011, so from 2012 to 2015 before he came to the Bears, he did not miss a game over those four seasons or whatever, and then he comes to the Bears and misses some games and has ankle problems 2 years in a row, I can see where you might connect some dots there if this in-shape issue and this weight issue was potentially real. It's all speculation at this point from the outside. We don't really know the true effect there, but one thing we do know is that it didn't seem to affect his play much when he was healthy and on the field. And actually, when you look back at that stretch in Green Bay, when he didn't miss games, he was actually on the injury report a lot. You know, he was probable with knee, shoulder, hamstring, you name it. These guys get beat up over the course of a year. You know, so it's not necessarily as simple as he was perfectly healthy until he came to Chicago. He just didn't miss games, which means something, but doesn't necessarily tell the whole story. So yes, Josh Sitton turns 32 in June. The Bears have a new offensive line coach with a strong reputation. And Josh Sitton has a reputation for being banged up the last couple years, and he has an $8 million price tag. There are a lot of reasons there to potentially decline that team option. I understand that. But to me, the number one priority for the Bears this offseason and the regular season and moving forward, the number one priority is protecting Mitchell Trubisky. You have to have a strong offensive line for him to be able to get the ball to the wide receivers that you might invest in, to be able to dump the ball off to the running backs that you've invested draft picks in. To keep this offense moving, you need a very strong offensive line. And so if you're moving on from Josh Sitton, all of that baggage included, you have to have a plan to replace him to get you something equal or better. You don't want to go backwards on your offensive line when you're trying to protect your young developing quarterback. The one plan everybody's really quick to point to is Quentin Nelson, Notre Dame. Harry Heaston coached him in college. He's the top guard in the draft. He's a perfect fit. He's a potential, you know, safe future Pro Bowl player that's the least risky guy in the draft. But there is a lot of risk in trying to put all your eggs in that basket. You know, this high-quality, top-notch player might not be on the board with the 8th overall pick. You know, he's actually a one seed in the Locked On NFL Draft March Madness bracket that they put together. So John Ledyard, who's been on the show 3 times, he did a mock draft Monday a couple weeks ago about Tremaine Edmonds and Roquan Smith and some great stuff there. He also does Locked On Steelers, so he was on to preview the Steelers game and talk about Todd Haley. So John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema host Locked On NFL Draft, and they've both been on this podcast before. And what they're doing this week is this March Madness-style tournament for the top NFL draft prospects. They put out a bracket, and then all week on their show, they're debating which draft prospects are better than the others, who moves up in their bracket, all to determine who truly the best prospects in the NFL draft are. So if you're an NFL draft fan, or you just want to hear more about Quentin Nelson and why he may or may not be there for the Bears at the 8th overall pick, go listen to the Locked On NFL Draft podcast this week. Of course, when you're done listening to Locked On Bears. Ryan Pace isn't going to go into this draft needing to draft Quentin Nelson in the first round. And I don't even think he's going to go into this draft needing to draft a guard that has to start as a rookie. That's really not his style. The last 3 years now, we've seen the Bears enter the draft without glaring needs at positions to allow Ryan Pace to truly draft best player available. Maybe that best player available is Quentin Nelson, but you're not going to see the Bears put themselves in a position where they have to rely on Nelson or a starting quality guard to have to be one of the Bears' early round draft picks. We're going to see the Bears do something in free agency at this position. And when we start to look at this market a little bit, you know, at the top, of course, is Andrew Norwell from the Carolina Panthers, a Pro Bowl caliber guard, a younger Josh Sitton, if you will. He's expected to get $13 million a year, looking like either the New York Giants or the San Francisco 49ers. The Bears just haven't been connected to him for any of the NFL insiders and the free agency rumors. You know, like, and even the one free agent offensive lineman that a lot of Bears fans were connecting to Chicago, Zach Fulton of the Kansas City Chiefs, sounds like the Houston Texans are expected to get a deal done with him. Again, haven't seen the Bears name attached to him at all. And it's looking like he could get $7 million a year. Zach Fulton is not normally a full-time starter for the Chiefs. He has in the past, and he fills in as pretty much their first guy off the bench. He's young. He can start at guard or center, and that's valuable. But he is a fairly average inside offensive lineman. You know, he's never shown the potential to be a Pro Bowl caliber player. He'll start for you. He'll get the job done. He'll make mistakes, but you can live with Zach Fulton as your starting guard or center. And that type of player here is getting $7 million per year expected from the Houston Texans. If the Bears want to get a replacement for Josh Sitton that can be at his quality or even slightly below it, they're probably going to have to pay more than Sitton's $8 million. And that $8 million was just going to be a one-year thing. You know, you could have kept Josh Sitton on that one-year deal, short-term thing, and then draft a guard in the third or fourth round. They don't have a third-round pick. Draft a guard in the fourth round or trade down in the second, pick up picks. You know, draft a later guard. Let him develop for a year behind Josh Sitton. Let Eric Kush get another year older. Let Grasu develop a little bit more. Whatever you want to do. And then move on from Sitton next year and put that next piece in place. So now you're stuck in a situation where you have to pay, you know, $7 million a year to get a lower quality player, which is only $1 million less than Josh Sitton, or you have to sit here and roll with Cody Whitehair, Hronus Grasu, Eric Kush, and Bradley Sowell as your starters in the competition for guard and center. To me, seems like either bad business here from the Bears and Ryan Pace not properly assessing the value of the guard market, or they're not prioritizing protecting their young quarterback, which is not a good idea. Cody Whitehair is a solid starting offensive lineman. Hronus Grasu has yet to look like an NFL-caliber offensive lineman. I like Eric Kush as a potential sleeper starting caliber, average Zach Fulton-type player, coming off of an ACL injury. We already talked about how bad Bradley Sowell was last year, but you really have one good offensive lineman in Whitehair, Grasu, Kush, and Sowell to fill two starting spots. The Bears need to sign a new starting guard. They can't go into the draft expecting to be sure that they're going to get one with their picks, and now they're probably going to have to pay the same amount of money as Josh Sitton was going to get or more to get a guard potentially of equal or slightly lesser value and performance on the field. I've said it from the beginning. I just think with this Josh Sitton situation, there has to be something else going on here. Something that we on the outside don't know. Because financially, with the money he was owed and the money that other players are starting to get, it doesn't seem to make much sense. And in terms of what we got on the field this past season on tape, he looked like a high-quality starting offensive guard. So you don't see the financial sense, you don't see the on-field sense. So there's got to be some other reason here. And maybe that reason is the Bears made a mistake. Maybe that reason is he is out of shape and doesn't want to be here or is more injury prone than we know and is falling apart and XYZ. There's got to be something else going on here because to me, I just don't see this move, moving on from Josh Sitton, as being the move that best puts the Bears in position to protect Mitchell Trubisky as effectively as possible. And that needs to be priority number one. So really, we don't know what's going on with the offensive line, but we do know the Bears have been active and aggressive in going after some pass catchers here on the open market. You know, the reports have been coming out from Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter. The Bears are going after Allen Robinson, Sammy Watkins, Jimmy Graham. And actually, it's interesting because the Green Bay Packers have also been reportedly pursuing all three of those players. You got Bears and Packers going head-to-head for the top wide receivers and tight ends on the market. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. It's interesting that both teams have been interested in all three. They might be driving their prices up a little bit for each other, maybe a bidding war, maybe trying to come away with more than one of these high-profile pass catchers. We'll see. You know, Sammy Watkins is believed to be the Bears' number one target, according to Brad Biggs of the Chicago Tribune. Now, I wrote over on BearsWire.com why I think the Bears need to be all in on Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson is a true number one wide receiver. He wins all over the field, can be that true dominant threat for Mitchell Trubisky and be his new best friend for the next 5 years. I think Sammy Watkins is an elite athlete. He is a great deep threat wide receiver, but he's not as well-rounded of a player. He wins in that way. I don't think he does as much in other ways. Kind of like Jarvis Landry is limited to what he does well. I think Sammy Watkins is limited to what he does well. And Allen Robinson can do a little bit of everything at a high level. And plus, when I look at Sammy Watkins here, this is a guy that's had injury issues repeatedly. You know, foot injury, ankle, knee, calf, hamstring, all these lower body soft tissue injuries like Alshon Jeffery. You know, I kind of come back to him. You know, Sammy Watkins, his only 16-game season in his career was his rookie year. But to me, it's kind of funny. This seems to fit Ryan Pace's type in free agents. You notice over the last couple years, Ryan Pace has signed free agents that have injury histories, and then they come to Chicago, and that injury history continues. I mean, Sammy Watkins is an elite athlete with injury history. That's Ryan Pace's MO right there. I mean, it makes sense, I guess, when you really stand back and look at it, that, yeah, Ryan Pace likes this type of guy, even though it's bit him in the past. And Sammy Watkins is still a very good wide receiver with a lot of potential, great athleticism, and would be better than any receiver the Bears have had since Alshon Jeffery. Debatable on if he could be more impactful than Jeffery. Very different type of receiver. So I wouldn't be mad or disappointed or upset if the Bears signed Sammy Watkins. But I just don't think he is as safe or as elite and well-rounded of an option as Allen Robinson is, at least right now. Sammy Watkins could potentially have a higher ceiling still at this point, but I would still put all my money in Allen Robinson's basket. And again, I wrote exactly why on BearsWire.com. And of course, it's not just wide receivers the Bears are looking at here. They're also been linked to the top pass-catching tight ends on the market, Jimmy Graham, Trey Burton. You know, it seems like the Bears are trying to find a veteran replacement for that Zach Miller role, more of a move around type piece, going to play a lot in the slot and, you know, be a little bit less worried about his blocking ability. But when I see the Bears connected to Jimmy Graham and Trey Burton, it gets a little bit scary for me just based on this free agent tight end market. Again, kind of like the guard market, things are getting a little bit inflated here. Cameron Brait from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers signed a contract, 6 years, $41 million. Just under $7 million per year for a tight end that gets about 600 yards a year. If a 600-yard tight end, Cameron Brait, gets $7 million a year, what is Jimmy Graham and even Trey Burton going to get? You know, like SpotRack, one of the contract websites, they put out like some market value projections of what they think some of these tight ends might get. And they were originally projecting around $7 million for Jimmy Graham and Trey Burton. But if Cameron Brait gets seven, that's got to bump up Graham and Burton. I mean, clearly the next tier up of tight ends. Jimmy Graham is coming off a contract that was paying him $10 million a year. And really, he was misused and out of place in Seattle. He would be a perfect fit for that Zach Miller role in Chicago. But this is a Pro Bowl tight end who's put up multiple seasons of 1,000 yards. He should get more than a guy like Brait. And Brait got $7 million a year. You know, the Bears already have $6 million per year in Deion Sims. Plus, of course, they used that second-round pick on Adam Shaheen. I'm weary of investing this big money in a guy like Jimmy Graham or even Trey Burton, probably looking at a similar deal, unless Deion Sims gets the axe. It's tough to invest a lot in tight ends right now because it's really a wide receiver spread type of league. It's get four wide receivers on the field. You know, I know Jimmy Graham would kind of be that type of receiving option, so I get it. You could kind of count him in that category, but if you're already paying Deion Sims $6 million a year and you want to get Adam Shaheen on the field as much as possible, then you add Jimmy Graham, Trey Burton to that mix, that becomes just a little bit tough for me when you have other needs on this team that you can invest important free agent dollars on, like a new guard to protect your quarterback that's not going to be able to get the ball to your expensive weapons if he doesn't have time to throw in the pocket. We've been over that, but with Jimmy Graham, Trey Burton, if you sign him, I wouldn't hate it. You know, the Bears need weapons, and those two guys can be big-time pass catchers. Graham, especially, a lot more proven. Burton, you're looking at some projection. The Bears need weapons, and I get it. I'm just weary of this inflated tight end market. Every free agent's going to be getting more money than you think as we get going here, and it can raise the price of these other players, and all of a sudden, spending a lot of money on some players with question marks at a position that might not have as much of a need as other positions that your money could be better spent. Should have some answers here on these tight ends, on these wide receivers, on the offensive line here in the next couple of days. Make sure you keep it locked on Locked On Bears every single day this week. When there is free agent news, we will have you covered. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for free agent analysis. Make sure you keep coming back. Don't forget to subscribe if you're not subscribed to the podcast already. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook, follow Locked On Bears on Twitter. And you know, every Bears free agent news blurb update goes on Bears Wire first, where I write, so you can go check that out. I mean, we put up like dozens of posts a day every time there's a new Bears move, some kind of free agent they're connected to. We write it up, we get it out there. So go to Bears Wire for your instant news, and then come back to Locked On Bears for your in-depth podcast analysis. This is the most exciting week of the offseason. Enjoy it, Bears fans, and bear down.